Lauren Isley's story about the tree in the backyard of his childhood home reminds us that it matters what we believe about things. It matters how we frame things in our living. This idea is key to the next few minutes as we consider how to reframe or frame seemingly intractable problems in church life, personal relationships, or in our inner beings, in our own relationship with ourselves. It matters what we believe about such things. How many of you have worked with a group of people on something in your life? How many of you have worked with a group of people in this or another congregation to achieve a goal, to accomplish something? How many of you have worked with a group of people on something where there was no conflict in the solution of the problem? Phew, that's good. I feel solidarity there. We all know times, don't we, when seemingly opposite ideas about things halt the vitality of a group, leave it feeling that there is no way to resolve it. So starting with the obvious, problems arise in human interactions. And so often, the first thing we try to do together is to answer the question, how can we solve this problem? This can sometimes be a very helpful question. There is, however, another question that we might ask before that. And that is this a problem that we want to solve? Or might it be one that serves life better if we let it stand as it is, unsolved? What, you ask? Why would we not want to solve a problem? Very American to solve problems. In churches, at work, in our families, and in our inmost beings, there is an answer to this question that can be quite liberating. And this is what I want to speak of today, asking the question, what kind of problem is this? And would it better serve us to be left unsolved? To be sure, there are technical problems, obvious that we need to solve them. The basement is flooding. The computer breaks down. It's a technical solution. We buy one or we get the one fixed. We have to decide between three possible candidates for a job position. We discuss it and vote for one person that most people see as the strongest one. These are the kind of problems that we must solve. The problems that we might choose to not solve are those that have polarities in them. That is, we might say, let's move forward holding both ideas in our minds and hearts. Let's do this because somehow they are both true. Polarities are sets of opposites. They can't function well independently because the two sides of the polarity are interdependent. You cannot choose one as a solution and neglect the other. Each pole has upsides or benefits and downsides, drawbacks. Overfocusing on one pole of the polarity takes you to its downside, eventually. So the objective of managing polarities instead of solving them as a problem, instead of choosing between them, instead of voting which way will we go, is to leave those there and avoid the limits of each while trying to get the best from both. Think about activity and rest, for instance. They're both necessary for good health. At any given hour, on a given day, you may be focused on one or the other, but over time, you need both. Let's say you've been especially active lately and that you're experiencing the benefits of a high level of activity. Your body is toned, your mind is sharp, and you're getting a lot accomplished, and so on. When you are experiencing this upside of the activity pole, that side of the polarity that feels really, really good, you'd like to stay there. But what happens if you keep up this level of activity to the neglect of rest? Pretty soon you find yourselves, we find ourselves, physically and mentally exhausted. Productivity suffers. We feel overwhelmed. Eventually we could crash. Then it feels great to rest, right? It feels great to go to the other side of that particular polarity. You all know this picture, so I'm going to hold it up. I hope you can see it. What do you see when you look at this picture? I'm sure you've seen this along the way. Your neighbor might see the opposite of what you see, but truth be told, they depend on each other. These objects in this picture. How many of you saw the vase when I held it up? And how many saw the two faces? One is dark and one is light. They're different shapes, and yet one could not exist without the other. The outline of one brings on the shape of the other. The way leads on. Very often, when polarities are at the heart of what seems like a problem, there is something else operating that in the end is positive and inevitable. These are the kind of problems we want to manage, not solve. For everything, there is a season, after all. Many of you will recognize some of these polarities in church life. Those conversations that never seem to go away, they pop up periodically or often. The stability of tradition, this is how we've always done it, and the hope of change, let's try something new. A focus on social action and outreach, a focus on caring for the community within. The need for people to volunteer for the nitty-gritty, not-so-beautiful part of church life. The desire of people to be fed and to choose the volunteer work that is meaningful to them. Maybe it will help you to know, as it has helped me in every aspect of my living, that these are irresolvable polarities. Isn't that fantastic? Relax. We can't solve these problems in churches. They will exist. There will always be tension around these kinds of issues and organizations. And this is as it should be if we want to have the kind of vitality that brings life forward for the good of the whole. We don't want to solve these tensions. We want to leverage them for the common good. Too much stability and tradition, and there's no way to survive as a church in this world that is changing so rapidly. Too much change, and we lose the sense of what our shape is, who we are. I love the song, "Let It Be a Dance We Do," for that's what it is, church life. The way leads on everlastingly, flowing between the two poles. These polarities will never end in a healthy congregation. The problem isn't with the priorities, which seem opposed. It's in asking the question, should we do X or should we do Y? To pick one alternative will leave some out in the cold. We could split the difference. We could mix all the colors of the rainbow into one mediocre drab gray. Or we could answer the question in our priority that we're going to do outreach and inreach by simply saying, which one of these are we going to do? By simply saying, yes. With the picture of the vase and the two faces, I could try to convince you that it really is two faces. But the truth is, both answers, a vase and two faces, are true. Both answers bring shape to life. Polarity management involves an understanding of a deep process that is at work that we do not really control. It involves opening our minds beyond either or and nurturing both polarities. This dynamic leads us on our way. I've been involved in congregations in many a power struggle over two opposing views. People on both sides believe strongly that they are right. They also assume that if they are right, then someone who doesn't agree with them must be wrong. Classic either-or thinking. When in fact both sides have their rightness and need each other to experience the whole truth. This phenomenon has been recognized and written about for centuries in philosophy and religion. The Taoist tradition from our reading came from there today. It's based on a deep appreciation of this underlying process or dynamic. It's expressed in the symbol of the yin and the yang, which is familiar. A circle divided into two sections that flow into each other. The black dot, or the dark dot in the white half, and the white dot on the other side in the darkness, reminds us that each has the beginning of the other in itself. For everything, there is a season. It is the nature of polarities to become dysfunctional if one extreme is focused on because of the belief that you have to choose. The longer you focus on one end of the polarity, the greater the need it is to move toward the other. The purpose, after all, of polarities is vitality, life. We can use our breath as a way to understand how polarities work in our living. So the very process of our breathing is a polarity. So try this with me. Inhale for 10 seconds. Or as long as you can, and then hold it. If breathing is a problem to be solved by choosing either the inhale or the exhale, I've just provided you with the solution by telling you to inhale. Though inhaling is essential and feels good at first, you soon find yourself sinking into the downside of inhaling only, filling up with too much carbon dioxide with a need for fresh oxygen. Now exhale slowly during the next seconds. Initially, there's great relief as we release, but staying too long there is not life-producing. It's a process. Both are needed for the other to function. It's an ongoing flow of shifting emphasis from one to the other and back again, and that's how the way leads on. Polarities are about what life is and what life gives. If there's one thing in life, its opposite will be there somewhere. Are you looking for light? Life will give you darkness too. Sadness, happiness, agitation, calmness, extroversion, introversion, order, chaos. As individual persons, we tend to value the end of the polarity that is most socially acceptable. Do you see yourself as a calm, patient person? How many times have you surprised yourself by being agitated and not patient? We say, well, that's not me, but it is you. We are both calm and not calm. When we realize this and accept the polarities within our own natures, we can manage them better. We cannot project them onto others, which is very important in group life. Oh, he is so critical all of the time, we say critically. In our desire to be more authentic as individuals, Certainly in marriage, polarity theory is very, very helpful. Something called split ambivalence, where the polarities separate people because there is no flexibility in the path between the two. This way of viewing conflicts has been quite liberating for me. We as churches, we need both tradition and innovation. We need both outward reaching and inward caring. Sometimes we will volunteer for something because it brings us great pleasure. And sometimes we will have to volunteer to do the nuts and bolts, the nitty-gritty, that isn't so pleasure-producing for us. Both are true. Both are truly needed. The way leads on and spirals back and moves again. The way of life leads us between the two poles, circling back around. In such a way, life's energy is created. Business has caught on to this. We've all been involved in things where the next new solution comes along, and you go to training, and you learn how to do it, and you start doing it, and then a few years later, the new solution to the problem comes along. Businesses are now trying to learn how to manage polarities so that it's not so much a radical back and forth between the two, but more of a more gentle going between the polarities. The symbol that is often used for polarity management is the infinity sign. Some of you know this, I can tell by your nods, but that on one side of the infinity sign is the high point of this polarity, and there's the high point over here of the other, and then there's the flowing between the two. Too much over here, and you start to go down and need to go up to the other polarity. So there was a woman in a church I served who, at least once a month, sometimes twice, would get up during the sermon and leave. And she didn't look happy. I decided not to ask her anything about it, and so this went on the whole 14 years I was at the church. And when I was leaving, we had a pretty good relationship. She said to me, you know, the only thing we disagreed about was, and then she told me the reason why she got up and left in some sermons. She got up and left because they might have been focused on social justice or social outreach. She did not feel that she wanted to hear that in church. I have to give her applause for doing what she needed to do without wreaking havoc in the organization. But on the other hand, that flow between polarities, it's difficult for it to flow if people aren't talking about it. So that's one of the strategies for managing polarities, is to talk about it and to come sometimes to common ground, sometimes to just an acceptance that both can be true in the same space. Sometimes creative solutions arise up that you don't imagine. But the point is that the anxiety we cause ourselves when there are these polarities truthfully isn't necessary. We can see them as healthy responses to the way life creates itself. The yin and the yang, but each having within it the birth of the other. I always feel like poetry says so much so well. So Rilke put it this way about polarities. Take your well-disciplined strengths and stretch them between two opposing poles, because inside human beings is where God learns. May we relax into problems that can't be solved and welcome them for the transformation they might bring. Amen. We sing now, Forward Through the Ages, 103.